Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is sponsored by Every.Black Entrepreneurs Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Matthew, the 18th chapter and 11th verse. And it says, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." The Storytelling Time program this week presents the fourth story coming from chapter 7 entitled, On the Beach, in the book, Heaven Can't Wait, or Can It?, the sequel. The title of the story today is Signs. We will go ahead and start with our story for today. Sandra had gone to Bermuda to find answers to the physical healing that she needed, but a part of her focus was on connecting with Fred somehow, once she found those answers. What she found, however, included a revelation about her spiritual health, thanks to Aaron. She also found the physical healing of a condition that she desired. Sandra finally realized that she needed to find a way to make up to both Mitzi and Maggie about her romantic interest in Fred. Like the prodigal son of the Bible, she felt unworthy to right the wrongs she had done to both her friends, but she wanted to be free from the guilt that haunted her being. To accomplish this, Sandra felt that she somehow had to make amends with both her friends, Mitzi and Maggie. Sandra's efforts at personal redemption started with Mitzi. She was one of the first persons she talked with after her return home from the beach in Bermuda. On the day of her return, she gave Mitzi a call.
Hello, Mitzi. This is Sandra.
Oh, hello, Sandra.
Mitzi, it's so good hearing your voice again. I'm back now in my apartment from my trip, and I can't wait to tell you about it. My trip to Bermuda was a life-changing experience, I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll do that when I see you. So how have you been?
I've been fine, Sandra, and I'm so glad to hear from you. You know, I'm anxious to hear about your trip. You seem so excited about the experience.
I am excited, Mitzi. I mean, I still have a long road ahead of me with my condition and all, but I was so inspired on my trip, and like I said, I'm anxious to tell you about it. I'm going to get some rest today, but could I come over tonight?
Sure, you can come over, Sandra. What kind of question is that? You know you're welcome here anytime. Yeah, I'll be waiting for you. And by the way, I have some good news for you, but I'll wait till you come over to tell you about it.
That's great, Mitzi. I sure could use some good news. It was pretty sad leaving Bermuda, but it sure is good to be back home. Well, I just called to tell you that. I'll let you go now. We'll see you later this evening. I'd say around 6.
6 o'clock is fine, Sandra. I'll be almost finished with dinner by that time, and you'll be just in time for some good old home cooking.
That sounds good, Mitzi. I've always enjoyed your cooking. That's the one thing I missed being in Bermuda. Although I ate well there, it was mostly sandwiches and light meals prepared by Erin. Oh, by the way, she was my host while I was there. Her name is Erin Pearson. I'll tell you about her later. Well, anyway, I'll be talking to you when I get to your house later today. Bye.
Bye, Sandra.
With that, they ended the conversation, and later that evening, Sandra made the one-hour trip to Flint to see Mitzi. Let's take a break now, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. When Sandra arrived at Missy's house, she rang the doorbell and waited with anticipation for Mitzi to answer. The door opened. Mitzi couldn't wait to give Sandra an embrace as they greeted one another. So she stepped outside with the wind offering a bit of a howl. Missy said to her,
"I'm so glad to see you, Sandra. You look so good as ever. You know you've always been an attractive lady. Come on in here and give me a hug." Pay no attention to that bark. I got a dog to keep me company. He stays on the back porch. But it's so good seeing you, Sandra.
Menzie, I didn't know you liked dogs. Anyway, it's so good seeing you again. And thank you for the compliment. Like I said on the phone, while I was sad leaving Bermuda, it sure is good to be back home. And I know I'm at your house, but you and Matthew have always made me feel so welcome here. It's just like being home.
Yeah, with Matthew not being here, Pinky keeps me company a lot. And Sandra, you can take the word like out of it. That's because I consider you being at home. You know you're welcome here. Yeah, you know how I feel about you. And Matthew felt the same way. I see you as a daughter, Sandra. Anyway, just don't stand there. Come on in. I'm almost finished with my cooking, and then we can eat. I can't wait for you to tell me about your experience in Bermuda. And when you finish, I'll give you the good news I said I have for you when we talked over the phone. Yeah, come on in, and I'll close this door to keep the wind out. Okay, now we're in, and so much for that wind. Come on in the kitchen. You can sit at the dining table while I finish. Then you can get some of this good old home cooking, girl.
Okay, Menzie. I don't know if I can wait long to get that home cooking you're talking about. And I'm really anxious to hear about that good news you have for me. But you know, one thing I learned while in Bermuda is to be patient. Oh, and that cake you're making. It smells so good, Menzie. I can't wait to have a piece of that.
Well, Sandra, I'll do better than that. I'll give you a slice to take back home.
Oh, Menzie, you shouldn't.
Well, I haven't done it yet, but I will. And Sandra, you know I do that for you. And I have some other things, too, I have prepared, just for you.
After Missy's reply to Sandra, she couldn't wait to give her the good news. Missy started by saying,
"You know, I just cannot stand here and not give you the news I think you want to hear. So I'll go ahead and give it to you right now, before we have dinner, Sandra."
Oh, that's great, Menzie. Otherwise, I would have been on pins and needles waiting for you to tell me that good news you're talking about. So go ahead and tell me.
Okay then, Sandra. Well, here it goes. First of all, I'm glad you gave my name as a reference on business matters because Chicago University Hospital called and gave me some information. Information they wanted you to receive from them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Sandra. I was given the hospital's address to give to you. And the person I talked with said you should come in soon. They wouldn't give me any other details. But I pray it's some encouraging news about your health situation, Sandra.
Oh, my, Menzie. I'm nervous already about what it might be. I'll be going there first thing in the morning. Would you come and go with me?
You know I will, Sandra, to be there for you. Just give me the time you want me to be at your place.
Now, Menzie, I know this means that you'll have to get up early in the morning and drive over to my apartment there in Detroit. Now, if that's too much driving for you...
I don't mean to interrupt you, Sandra, but let me stop you right there. No, that's not too much driving for me. I'll get a good night's rest and we'll be ready to go to your place tomorrow morning. And then we can drive down to the hospital in Chicago with no problem. Now, like I ask you, what time should I be at your place?
Okay, Menzie, you've made your point. You can be at my apartment by 7:30. I'll be about ready to go by then, and we can be on the road shortly. And after that time, at least by 8. And we'll make the 3-hour drive down to Chicago. We should be at the hospital by 11. Don't worry about driving. I can drive my car. We'll be going against the rush hour traffic, so it shouldn't be a problem at that early hour. It should be smooth sailing.
Okay, Sandra. I can make that work. I'll be at your place by 7:30, maybe even a little earlier. But yeah, it should be a smooth sail down to the Windy City.
As they anticipated making the 3-hour drive to Chicago the next day, Sandra continued to talk to Mincy about her stay on the beach.
Mincy, you go ahead and finish your cooking. I'll sit here and talk to you a little bit about my experience while you finish up.
Yeah, Sandra, you do that. I'm almost done. I just have to take the food out of the oven. It should be heated by now, and within 5 minutes we can start eating.
Okay, Mincy.
Well, go ahead. At least you can tell me a little bit about your experience.
Well, first of all, Mincy, I had a nice flight to Bermuda. It's just a beautiful place. Anyway, the hotel I went to was empty because of a storm that had been predicted over the weekend. But the hotel I'm talking about is really called an inn, the Motor Inn at the resort, to be exact. It's a very nice complex, and the owner, whose name is Aaron, lives on the property. And I did have my own living quarters. And Menzie, she reminded me so much of you. She's a person of faith like you are, and she gave me so much wisdom about many things while I was there. I won't say too much more because I want to enjoy this meal you've prepared, and plus, I need to get back home so I can rest up for tomorrow before it gets too late.
Okay, Sandra. That's a good point you made. You probably should get back so you can get the rest you need for tomorrow. But keep on talking. I'm almost finished cooking.
Okay, Menzie. I will say the one thing I remember more than anything else while I was there was that Aaron told me I would get 3 signs that would confirm some positive news about my health situation. And you know what? I got one of the signs last night, the 3rd sign, when me and Aaron saw one of the most brilliant starlit sky you'd ever want to see. And as I saw all those stars, Menzie, something inside of me said that was the 3rd sign I had been looking for. And I told Aaron that, Menzie. I was so happy. I did experience 2 other signs earlier, and Aaron said I would experience all 3 before I left the island, and I did get to experience them. I won't talk about the first 2 just yet, but that 3rd sign, Menzie, was just amazing.
Sandra wouldn't dare mention the first 2 signs because they would include that 2nd sign, the one that involved a dream she had of Mincy when Mincy asked her, "Why have you so forsaken me?" She believed that statement was an indictment of her being romantically involved with her son-in-law, Fred. Sandra definitely wanted to keep that information from Mincy. In response to what Sandra had said about her experience in Bermuda, Mincy commented,
"Wow, I agree. You saying that sign was amazing. But Sandra, I thought when you first made reservations, your return flight was earlier in the day, like midday on Sunday."
"You're right, Mincy. My flight was scheduled for 12 noon, but it was delayed from that time to 11:30 that night because of a snowstorm here in the Detroit area."
"So let me get this straight, Sandra. You were able to get your 3rd sign, a sign that you felt you needed to confirm the blessing you wanted, the healing of your condition, only after your flight was delayed till later that night. Am I right about that?"
"Oh, Mincy, that's about right."
"Yeah, that is amazing, Sandra. Let me ask you one more thing. Do you remember the time when you were told of the delay?"
"As a matter of fact, I remember exactly what time it was. It was 9:00 in the morning, right when we had started to having breakfast. And that was when one of my favorite TV shows, Judge Judy, was about to come on."
That's interesting, because I believe Bermuda is, what, 3 hours ahead of our time here in Detroit?"
"Yeah, you're right, Mincy.
So it was only 6:00 in the morning here."
"Okay, I'm puzzled, Mincy. I still don't understand. I don't understand why that's important. The time, I mean.
Oh, I don't want to get emotional about this, Sandra, but at 6 o'clock every morning was the time when me and Matthew would always say a prayer just before having breakfast. I miss that so much. And I miss him especially, Sandra.
Sandra interrupted Mincy, giving her some tissue for the sniffles when she said,
"Oh, Mincy, I miss Matthew too. Here, take this tissue."
"Thank you, Sandra."
"But Mincy, I still don't understand the importance of the time you two having breakfast have to do with my time in Bermuda."
At that point, Missy tried to be as clear as she could. She said,
"Sandra, it was at that time when we usually say a prayer over our food, like I told you. And since Matthew is no longer here, I said the prayer all by myself."
"Oh, Mincy, are you okay?"
"Yes, Sandra, I'm all right. Let me continue because I think it's important. Let me make it short, Sandra. I decided to continue the tradition that Matthew and me had, what we did for so many years, and that was to pray before having our breakfast, as I said before. But this is the strange part, Sandra. When we prayed, it would always be during the week. On Sunday, we usually would get up later in the morning and prepare to go to church. And so we never got a chance to pray before breakfast at that time. That is, on Sunday, I mean. But listen to this. The Sunday you're talking about, Sandra, when you had your delay, for some reason, and why, I don't know, but for some reason, I got up and prayed, just like me and Matthew used to do during the week. And guess what I prayed about, Sandra?"
"What? What did you pray about, Mincy?"
"I prayed that you would receive a special blessing, a blessing that somehow would involve the healing of your condition. And God granted an answer to that prayer, Sandra. He gave you the opportunity to witness that third sign you wanted so bad on that Sunday night. But the key was that it took your plane being delayed from a midday flight to one that was later that night for you to even have a chance to witness that starlit sky, and for you to get the sign that you desired. Don't you see, Sandra? That was the reason for your delay. And it all started the moment I prayed at 9 o'clock your time, 6 o'clock my time. It took that for God to bless you with that sign, or at least bless you with something. But it turned out to be a sign when you saw all those stars up there in the sky that night. And you know, as well as me, Sandra, you sure wouldn't have seen those stars in broad daylight. I know this sounds crazy, Sandra, but I believe that it was all by design, your flight delay, so that you could see the starlit sky at night."
Sandra was deeply moved by Mincy's words. At that moment, it was revealed to Sandra the significance of Mincy's prayer that she had made at breakfast time on the morning of her scheduled flight. Mincy's story prompted Sandra to say,
"Wow, that's all I can say, the way you describe it, the sequence of all those events. Now I get it. My flight was delayed from 12 noon to 11:30 that night was necessary for me to receive that last sign, which involved a starlit sky on the beach. I could not have received that sign during the day when stars are invisible, as you said. The whole scenario was no coincidence that you prayed for me at that specific time to receive a blessing. And that blessing, Mincy, was my being allowed to see those stars that night. Yeah. It was that time when I recognized, finally, the third sign, and my friend Aaron said I would receive it. And it was a sign I believe God gave me that confirmed the healing of my condition. Wow, I'm just speechless."
Well, You said enough, Sandra. And Wow is right. The timing of events in that whole situation was nothing short of miraculous, in my opinion.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Knowing that they had to get up early the next morning, Sandra decided not to continue telling Mincy about her experience in Bermuda at this time. She would do that later. Soon, Sandra made the 1-hour drive back to her home in Detroit. Mincy promised to meet Sandra at her apartment the following morning to go with her to Chicago to get the details of her medical situation. Monday morning had arrived when Mincy drove to Detroit to meet Sandra at her apartment. They would start their drive to Chicago a few minutes before 8 o'clock, as they had planned. By 11 o'clock, they arrived at the university's medical center and were ready to meet hospital personnel in a reception area. But they had to wait a while. Then, at a little after 12 noon, Sandra said,
"It's been an hour sitting here, Mincy, and I'm so nervous."
A moment later, an older gentleman, who looked like a physician, came towards them both.
"Good morning, ladies. Ms. Hughes, I presume?"
"Why, yes. I'm she."
"You can come with me. Your friend can remain here in the lobby."
The man then glanced toward Mincy as they were leaving and said,
"We'll return shortly."
He took Sandra into a separate room while Mincy remained in the lobby and waited until their return. After only about 20 minutes, Sandra did return to the lobby with the gentleman who took her in for consultation. They both were all smiles. Sandra then yelled,
"They found a match! They found a match!"
Sandra announced with all the emotion you could expect from someone who had just been given her life back. Sandra could only think about Aaron at that moment, and remembered what she had said about giving God the praise when her healing was manifested. And that's what Sandra did.
"Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!"
Sandra shouted so that everyone in that office area could hear. That included Mincy, who just sat silently with tears running down her cheeks. After Sandra's public display of praise, the physician said to her, with both Mincy and Maggie listening,
"Yes, Miss Hughes, you have something to be happy about. We did find a liver that can replace the damaged one. Let me tell you, she's one very lucky lady. We don't find matches like the one she's got very often. In fact, it hardly ever happens. You should feel very fortunate, Miss Hughes."
The physician attending to Sandra gave her instructions to follow. He told of Sandra's scheduled return date to receive her implant. It would be a rare but perfect match for her defective liver. It wouldn't be long, the physician told her.
"Miss Hughes, your appointment for the transplant procedure is set for Friday of this week."
Mincy was overjoyed because of all the positive information she was now receiving from both the physician as well as from Sandra herself. She knew that both Maggie and Fred said they would visit her the coming weekend, the weekend that Sandra's replacement liver would be implanted in her body, as well as of Mincy's birthday celebration. It would be an opportunity for them to see Sandra too, at this important moment in her life. Later that afternoon, Mincy made the 3-hour drive with Sandra back to her apartment. Unlike before when Sandra drove to Chicago, this time, Mincy would be the driver back to Sandra's apartment. Mincy would stay there with her friend a little while, then continue on to her house in Flint. Later that week, Mincy agreed to take Sandra to Chicago University Hospital as she had done before. Friday of the scheduled procedure was soon upon them, and again, they made the drive down to the university hospital where Sandra was scheduled to receive her new liver. According to the information Missy had received earlier from hospital attendants, Sandra would spend about 3 hours in the hospital. It would be an hour for preparation, an hour for the procedure itself, and an hour for recovery. Let's take another break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Similar to other visits to the hospital, Missy waited for Sandra. This time, she would have her new liver safely implanted in her body. A major difference in this visit from the last one was that Maggie and Fred would be there with Missy. Early in the week, Missy had called Maggie to inform her and Fred of Sandra's procedure at Chicago University Hospital. It was perfect timing because they had planned to drive to Flint on the coming weekend for Missy's birthday. On the day of Missy's call, Maggie asked her, "Mama, will Sandra be okay?" "She's fine. To tell you the truth, she's doing great because she'll be receiving her liver transplant on Friday." "That's great, Mama. I can hardly believe it. Let me know the time and the hospital's address. Me and Fred will come by and be with you two." You are taking her, right?" "Yes, I'm taking her, Maggie. And I look forward to seeing you and Fred on Friday, too. Bye now." "Bye, Mama. We'll see you on Friday." Maggie confirmed that they would come to be with her mother and Sandra. On this weekend, Maggie and Fred would be at Missy's house to help celebrate her birthday as planned. By the time Friday came along, Maggie and Fred made their way towards Flint, with a stop at the University Hospital in Chicago to see Sandra. They came to the lobby of the hospital and saw Missy sitting there, sipping on a cup of coffee. Sandra had already been admitted, and Missy was just waiting on Maggie and Fred to arrive. When they did arrive, Maggie said, "Hello, Mama." "Hello, Maggie, and hello to you, too, Fred. Now, come on and have a seat. We have a little wait before Sandra comes out of surgery." Missy had returned the greeting to her daughter, so they sat there and talked for a while, read magazines, and drank coffee until the time everyone had waited for. When Sandra finally came out, she was taken to a hospital room where she was definitely in recovery mode. Sandra's surgery was complete. It would be only a matter of months before she would be as she was physically before the accident back on Damascus Road. She had an extensive rehab period in front of her. Soon, a nurse brought Missy, along with Maggie and Fred, to the room where Sandra was. Sandra greeted everyone, and they all congratulated her on her successful surgery. Missy said to Sandra, "You look wonderful."
"Thank you, Mansy. And it's so good to see you two, Maggie and Fred."
Sandra replied with a soft voice. She had yet to regain her strength due to the procedure. Maggie and Fred then greeted her. Maggie said,
"It's good to see you, Sandra. Me and Fred have been praying for your recovery."
"Thanks a lot, you two. I appreciate all of what you have done."
Since Sandra's accident, her spiritual state of mind would be healed just as much as her physical body. First and foremost, she did not have the desire for Fred that she once had. She had gone through a metamorphosis, a change in her spiritual being. No one saw this more than Fred, who had an opportunity to speak with Sandra alone while Missy and Maggie were reviewing some hospital documents involving Sandra's discharge.
"Hello, Sandra," Fred said.
"Hi, Fred. I guess you didn't expect to see me this way the next time we came together.
Yeah, I must admit, I was looking forward to seeing you in Minneapolis, where my conference was. It would have given me an opportunity to be away from some of those technical meetings.
Well, I've gone through a lot since then, as you can see.
Sandra had wanted to confess something to Fred ever since she left Bermuda. Then came a precious moment when Mincy and Maggie were away. Sandra saw this as an opportunity to communicate to Fred her true feelings toward him at this time. Fred saw this as a precious moment as well, a perfect time to be more personable with Sandra. But Sandra had other thoughts when she took the initiative to be honest, finally, with Fred.
Fred, I know Mincy and Maggie will be away for a while, so I want to use this opportunity of our being alone to tell you something. You do know how much I care about Maggie as well as her mother. And of course, I was devastated when Matthew passed. Well, the last thing I want to do is to hurt either of them. So I've had this built up in my system for the last few days. Actually, ever since I left Bermuda.
Then Fred interrupted. What are you trying to say, Sandra? You can tell me. I can handle it.
Well, Fred, I really wanted to be with you.
Fred asked. Again, what are you saying, Sandra? Are you saying that you want a romantic involvement with me? Then she told him, finally, what was in her renewed spirit.
No, Fred. The correct way of saying it is that I wanted a relationship with you, like in the past tense. Yeah, I did want to get close to you, closer than what I should have wanted. But the accident has led to some important changes in my life. Don't get me wrong, Fred. I still care for you a lot. But now, I guess it's more like a brother.
Bewildered at Sandra's new nature, Fred said simply, "Oh, I see." Sandra had one request of Fred, and that was to not share this information with either Maggie or Mincy, because she cared so very much about both of them. She told him,
Yes, let's just keep this as our personal little secret."
Again, Fred gave a simple answer. A secret, huh? Well, okay. After some time, Sandra settled into the hospital room where she would start her recovery process. Meanwhile, Maggie and Fred would follow Mincy as she drove back to Flint, where they looked forward to celebrating Mincy's birthday over the weekend. Mincy would come back to the hospital to get Sandra sometime the following week and take her home. Fred gathered from talking with Sandra that it was her illness and overcoming what she had that caused her to alter her feelings towards him. Because of hearing Sandra's experience, Fred altered his own feelings toward Courtney and refocused his attention on his wife, Maggie. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back after the following special message. Then we'll finish the show. William Porter here with a message and an invitation to join the Inspirational Book Club. Admit it, we book lovers still desire to meet and discuss a book we may be reading. The power of the internet through Zoom allows you access to book club meetings. It allows all members to be in one place, one space. The Inspirational Book Club is not just about discussing books. It's also about hearing testimonies from participants. They are just so inspirational. Listen to this.
Event was about 2 years ago. I was really sick. I was diagnosed, and the doctors were saying all this bleak stuff. But you know what? After the diagnosis and everything, right there on the spot, I'm not even exaggerating. I wasn't afraid.
Hallelujah.
I wasn't sad. I wasn't saying, why me? I wasn't nervous. The first thing I thought of was, I'm going to beat this. I got God. I'm going to make it through. Mm-hmm. It was not easy. I was sick as a dog. I was in and out of the hospital the whole while, in and out of the hospital. When I wasn't in the hospital, I was sick. But I tell you what, I held on to that belief. Mm-hmm. I knew God had me. I knew I was going to make it. I don't care how sick I got. I made it. And I'm here to testify on behalf of God. I held on. I tell you, I know. If I didn't know what y'all already did, I know now. But I'm here to let you know, it was my faith and belief that brought me through. It really was. Because if I'd listened to doctors and all these naysayers and going by what's written, you know, all this and that, I wouldn't have made it. I held on. I didn't get scared. I never felt sorry for myself. I was just holding on the whole while. No matter how weak I got, no matter how bad things got, I just knew I was going to make it, and I did. And I thank God for it. And that's what I have to say. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's Give great. God the glory.
Yes.
Every day. Every day.
As I said, so inspirational. So don't miss out and join the discussion. Our monthly meeting is every first Saturday, and the time is from 6 o'clock p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern. If you're interested in joining us, just email your name, including your preferred email address, to me, Dr. William Porter, waporter4995@yahoo.com. Again, that email address is waporter4995@yahoo.com. Within a day or so of our hearing from you, you will receive your Zoom login information package. For more information, visit the website at williamporterlife.com. Well, that's all for now. Until we meet at a future book club meeting, take care. I'm Dr. William Porter, author of inspirational books and host of the Inspirational Book Club. Welcome back. That message was from Ms. Jacqueline Bowen, who has since gone to be with the Lord. Jackie was a faithful member of the Every Dot Black family, but as she said in the message, she always gave God the glory. Rest in peace, Jackie. Well, that's all for today. In closing, I'd like to say, and would like for you to remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you the next time.